Super. According to Nick Fitzy Stevens, that's the next superstar slot receiver for your New England Patriots, Efton Chisholm III.
Not Efton Chisholm Jr., not the Efton Chisholm.
Nah, that'd be...
EC3, baby. I'm telling you, kid has Patriots playmaker written all over him. Don't just ask me. Ask the coordinators, ask the coaches, ask the fans, ask everybody in town.
Ask the fans. Why would I ask the fans?
I don't know, just to get hype.
You're right. There's a lot of videos. People love him. I expected there to be buzz around, as I've said, the little white slot receiver. It's what we do here in New England. We've done it before. We'll do it again. We'll see if this one is the one that sticks. The one thing I will say is we knew he seemed to have an advocate in his offensive coordinator, Josh McDaniels. It sounded like he earned an advocate in his head coach on Friday night when he said, what did he say? Playing strength? His playing strength is what stood out. That is a weird descriptor, I would say, for an undersized slot receiver. The first thing that the Hardo head coach, former big edge player, outside linebacker, said he noticed his undrafted rookie slot receiver's playing strength. That stuck out to me. It just sort of jumped off the transcript page to me when I had read that. So I don't totally discount him. I'm not nearly as excited or definitive in that he's going to have a role on this team, Fitzy. I go the other end of the rookie spectrum. To me, the second-round pick, that running back that led off the game with a touchdown, then looked like a contributor in both the running game and the passing game. Not going to be perfect. They're all rookies. That's the one thing we need to realize. A lot of these players we're talking about are young players. And they're going to be, you know, there's a reason old school coaches like Bill Belichick like to ease people into their careers, maybe even kind of quasi redshirt them, because it's hard. It's hard to be a rookie in the National Football League. So to just expect that Will Campbell's going to be good and Travion Henderson's going to be good and Jared Wilson's going to be good and just lean on him and hell, maybe throw an Efton Chisholm out there. Well, you're probably going to see some ups and downs with those rookies. But Travion Henderson, remember when, was it Orlovsky or Pete Schrager that was like, oh, Kyle Williams might be the best pass-catching rookie in the NFL this year?
One of them.
I don't feel great about that. I feel better.
It's early.
Yeah, we'll see. But I feel better about you telling me Travion Henderson could be one of the best rookie running backs. I absolutely think he has a chance to do that.
Well, especially when you splash the way that he did, draw nothing but praise from spring practices all the way to training camp in the first preseason game. And then you have things like this from your new offensive coordinator, says Josh McDaniels earlier today. I'm excited to coach him. We've had some really good players with skill sets that are somewhat like his. Maybe no one is fast. Vereen was probably the fastest. Him and Danny Woodhead were fast. But Travion is fast. Excited to be with him. So you basically have McDaniels saying, like, dude's probably the fastest running back that I've coached. He hasn't played a professional. I mean, you can say that Friday night was a professional game because for some reason they're still allowed to charge the same prices to watch Ben Woolridge throw it to Efton Chisholm III.
He was kind of good.
Woolridge?
Yeah.
The Dridge wasn't that bad.
I mean,
if
we're going to put stock in what Efton Chisholm did, don't we have to put stock in the quarterback who threw him the football in those late fourth quarter reps?
Yeah, but that was like the pass that the Dridge threw his way was tipped and wasn't great. And then, you know, Chiz went up and got it and then made the play. So, you know, I give more love to Chisholm on that one.
Of course you do.
He's my guy.
A little laser show receiver.
Excuse me?
A little laser show receiver you got over there.
He's my new pygmy.
You're not by yourself on that. 617-779-7937. Paulie's been waiting for a little while here to talk about Efton Chisholm. I was hoping he'd hang up, but I guess I got to put him on the air to talk Chisholm. What's up, Paulie?
Hey, what do you say, pal? You're with us on this one, too, though. You like him just like Fitzy and I do as well, don't you, Andy?
No, not nearly as much. I have my doubts about Efton Chisholm. No,
he's not invited to the next meeting, Paulie.
Well, we'd love to have those twin Sarahs again like we had in Amendola and Edelman. But going back to the beginning, when Edelman got there, again, he was a quarterback out of Kent State, and they wanted to develop him as a receiver. You could afford to have. I don't know what they did. I can't remember when he was a rookie, if they got him and put him on the practice squad. But you could afford to take that chance. this kid Chisholm, we need those twin towers. You need, in case Bob Douglas gets hurt, you'll have the Chisholm to back him up. Or you can have them both on the field from time to time, your twin towers. But this kid broke all of Cooper Kupp's records at wherever it is. I don't know, was it Montana
Eastern
State
Washington.
Or Utah?
Eastern Washington.
Eastern Washington. He broke all of Cooper Kupp's records. Somebody will poach him if you don't protect him.
Thanks for the call, Paulie.
That's right.
Did he nickname, does he have Efton Chisholm and Pop Douglas on the field together and he's calling them the Twin Terrors?
That's right.
Is that what I got there?
Imagine this. How about this? How'd you like a nice form? You could have the Chiz and Pop. You could have, like, let's say Gibson and Henderson. And then Andy, go ahead, you know, throw out a tight end, another receiver out there. That's a lot of little quick out there.
Yeah. I got to tell you, if Pop Douglas and Efton Chisholm are on the field together, I don't know that I like where this season is going. Where's Stephon Diggs? Is he not on the field? Where's Kayshon Booty?
He might
where's
be there.
Matt Collins. Could be
there. I'm saying there's another option. That was only 10.
Yeah, I don't love that idea of Efton Chisholm being forced into it.
You're a doubter of Josh McDaniels and his spiritual journey.
Also, nothing devalues when you say, yeah, he broke all Cooper Kupp's records. Where the hell was that? Was that some Wyoming
or
something?
Do you expect the average masshole and football fan, Patriots diehard, to know Eastern Washington?
No, that's my point. If he had broken all Cooper Kupp's records at LSU, you'd know that they were at LSU. But the records weren't exactly set at the highest level of football. And I'm not disregarding his college career. And I don't want to be painted as some Efton Chisholm hater. I just want to say I'm a little bit behind on the rest of the bandwagon that everybody, because are we just going to forget that he started camp doing virtually nothing? That for like 10 days of
training
camp.
You guys painted him as Dr. Do-Nothing. He was still turning heads. He just wasn't getting the volume of reps that he's been getting lately. And obviously the team is giving him reps like he was catching passes from Drake May today. Granted, it was walkthrough-ish, but at least QB1 was lobbing balls his way today. There's a reason why, obviously, McDaniels, Downing, who spoke after practice and had nothing but high praise for him as well, Vrabel, they want to see what it looks like when they trot the little guy out there next to Drake May with the first team offense. Like, they're obviously giving this strong consideration. If you are Efton Chisholm, his agent, previous coaches, his family, could you ask for much more at this juncture, given there is still about 4 weeks till the regular season?
No, I think they picked a smart place to be an undrafted rookie in Josh McDaniels' offense with a history of these guys developing and evolving and having roles. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think that was a smart play on their part. My point would be, if he ends up being one of your best receivers and he ends up being Twin Terrors part of your offense?
Twin Terrors.
That's not a great sign for the rest of the offense. Whereas, speaking of nicknames, give me what Rich Keefe's nickname for the running backs are, because I forgot the word already.
Cerberus. The three-headed hellhound of Hades.
Sounds like I said it after a few Miller. Cerberus. They, I think, are worthy of a nickname. When I saw them, not only, obviously, Gibson and Henderson made big plays in the kicking game, but I thought all three of them have shown the ability to contribute on offense. That is something where you said, oh, my God, could we have all three running backs on the field? And I would say, yeah, I think there's a chance of it. You could do split backs with Henderson and Ramondre and line Gibson out up at wide receiver, and
Talk
I wouldn't
me.
Think that's ridiculous.
Talk to me.
That is where I think you'd be putting your best talent on the field. I think those three guys, if you were just stacking your roster one to whatever based on ability, offensive ability, playmaking ability, those three guys are going to rank pretty high, probably higher than most of your wide receivers. So Josh McDaniels is smart. He's creative. They got a lot of offensive minds that have been play callers and coordinators and passing game coordinators. Those three guys, I think, could be the centerpiece of your offense. I really do.
So you've got a big body once again that you feel competent about, like you have confidence in Mac Hollins. You have an alpha in Steph Diggs. These are two things the receiving core has kind of lacked the last couple of years. You also have two tight ends who I believe, Andy, your coordinator and especially your quarterback, feel confident in throwing the ball to, that they're going to be in the right spot and that they're going to bring the pass in as well. So you got some bigger guys you can rely on, so you can afford to take some shots on some little quicker guys to bring a little balance and some unpredictability along with that game-changing speed to the offense. I like where, listen, we're not talking about the greatest show on turf or the 2018 Patriots, 20, 16 Patriots by any stretch. However, I like where I like the direction it's going. I like how it's trending.
Okay, so there's something else that came out today that I wanted to touch on here. I know it's Jones and Keefe. They do Tier Tuesday. Today's not a Tuesday, and this is not their tier. But The Athletic did their quarterback tiers for this year's crop of quarterbacks. 1 to 34 they went. And so they have
32 teams?
Yeah, they got a couple extras in there like Joe Flacco and Kenny Pickett. But not Shador. Oh, interesting. So Pickett and Flacco made it, but not Shador. But they have tiers. First tier is the green tier, the dark green tier. That is Mahomes, Burrow, Allen, Lamar Jackson, and Matthew Stafford. Five guys in their top tier of quarterback. I think there's one too many in there. I don't think Matthew Stafford should be in that tier. The next tier is 6 through 14. It starts with Jaden Daniels and ends with Brock Purdy. Has Justin Herbert, Jared Goff, CJ Stroud, Jalen Hurts, Super Bowl champion, Baker Mayfield, Dak Prescott, Jordan Love, and then Purdy. The next tier, this is where you're going to hear the name of your starting quarterback, Nick Fitzy Stevens, Drake May. So it starts with Kyler Murray at 15, Aaron Rodgers 16, Tua 17, Trevor Lawrence 18, Geno Smith, 19. Tied for 20, you have Bo Nix and Sam Darnold. Haven't gotten to your guy yet. 22, Drake May. How you like
22.
That? Tier 3 quarterback, 22nd ranked overall. What is your immediate reaction to that for Drake May?
That's kind of about right. He hasn't earned it yet. Played two-thirds of a season. Trashy surrounding characters and players. Not a lot of talent. Look good at times. Too many turnovers. Hasn't gotten a full season under his belt with Vrabel and McDaniels and the new guys. Going to be also throwing the ball and handing it off to a bunch of new faces as well. So he needs to earn his way into the upper half. Like by the end of this season, if Drake May was in the middle of that second tier, like around 12 or so, would I be happy? Boy, howdy.
Time now for our league leaders and who's circling the drains, presented by Drains by James. Drains by James is Eastern Mass's leader in residential and commercial drain cleaning and pipelining at drainsbyjames.com. At Drains by James, they give a poop about your pipes. So, I said it. League leaders, those top five guys, I would not include five guys. Stafford would be out. Also, probably should have noted, Fitzy, because we've talked about this and debated this, they don't have a number one quarterback. They have a tie for the top quarterback in the National Football League. Patrick Mahomes and Joe Burrow are tied for number one, with, interestingly, at 3 and 4, the last couple MVPs from the National Football League, and Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson coming in at 3 at 4. So those are your league-leading quarterbacks. You know who the worst quarterback in football, according to The Athletic, is? Kind of hurts. He gets his own category. He gets bright orange. All the other crappy quarterbacks are light orange.
Anthony Richardson.
No, he's two spots ahead in the light orange category.
Okay, who is it then?
Kenny Pickett. I almost said Ryan Pickett. I don't know
Ryan
Pickett is.
Okay, but he's QB 34, so that means Anthony Richardson is 32.
Yes.
So he's technically,
I guess, Anthony Richardson is the worst, because in between them is Spencer Rattler at 33. But circling the drain.
Tyler Shuck?
Poor Kenny Pickett.
Oh, no. His time has passed.
They made a separate tier for him. He's the
Doll
only
hands?
Guy
is it a
in
very
tier
small
five.
One?
He does have small hands. He does have to wear
Doll
gloves
hands.
At times where not all quarterbacks would need to wear gloves. He did initiate the fake slide to change the rules in college football. So Kenny Pickett, interesting note. But, no, Drake May, and I heard Wiggy and Curtis arguing about this on the Greg Hill show this morning.
Shocker.
With no Greg Hill and Courtney doing a tremendous job in the one seat. But they were arguing what this means. And I was kind of on Shime's side when he chimed in with, like, this is who they say you are now. This doesn't mean they're saying it's who you're going to be. By the end of the year, Drake May could be whatever this other light green color is, tier two quarterback.
He could be 17, 16.
He could be much higher than that.
Could be.
17 or 16. Oh, so he's 22. So in front of him, let's say it again.
He's literally 22, and he's also 22.
Sam Darnold, Bo Nix, Geno Smith, Trevor Lawrence. Could he pass all those guys?
Sure.
Okay. You know who's in front of them? Tua. Could he pass him?
Oh, God, he stinks.
Aaron Rodgers, his career could be over. Could he pass him?
Guy's 80.
Okay, so that right there gets you into the top 15 quarterbacks if you pass those guys.
And then now he didn't even have to step over the velvet rope. Someone just moved it to the side for him and let him bring his small wife.
And I don't want to be disrespectful to a guy like Baker Mayfield, but it wasn't long ago that Baker Mayfield was a journeyman, cut multiple times, signed on a Wednesday, play on a Thursday for the Rams kind of quarterback.
And also balled out that particular Thursday night for the Rams and sort of put his name back on the map of respectability. And since then, has played his ass off.
Sure. So you think he is locked in as a great quarterback? There's no chance Baker Mayfield could ever regress.
Have you seen the surrounding talent they've given him this year in Tampa? I think I'm pretty confident in saying Baker Mayfield is going to have a very good to great season. Yeah. Yes.
We will see. I think Baker Mayfield is a middling quarterback who at his best looks like one of the best in football, and when he's on the downside looks like a bottom 10 quarterback in the National Football League. He's another guy that I think Drake May with a great year could pass. I don't think it's crazy if Drake May does what year two quarterbacks are supposed to do for him to jump 7 spots beginning into the top 15 quarterbacks, and if things go really well, or we also know there's probably a good chance one or two of these guys will be injured and miss most of the year because injuries happen at the quarterback position. I just don't think it's crazy for him to leap up. Now, he's got to do it. He can't fumble every time he, you know, gets on the field or throw interceptions when it's crunch time or 2-minute drill or the things he's been doing this summer. And again, if you missed the Drake May interview from earlier in the show, you can go back and listen on the Odyssey app, the iHeart app, any of your regular podcast providers. We'll also play some of the clips in the drive at 5. And in a couple minutes, we're actually going to talk to Marcus Jones, his first interview of the season here on Patriot Monday. Yes, Fitzy.
Yeah, we're going to get a chance to ask him what it was like to have Efton Chisholm climb the ladder, go over top of him, and rein in a sixer on Sunday.
No, we're not going to ask him about that because some of us want to not play into the annoying narrative that is the fourth string receiver in garbage time.
Preseason, embrace it. And by the way, the Fitzy 5 at 5:30, that's exactly where I'm going with that, just to drive you even crazier. And also, by the way, everyone has a favorite camp story, and he happens to be this year.
Do you have the guy who led the team in rushing who believed in UFOs because he saw him off the back of a cruise ship once?
Who was that?
I don't know. I just told you the story. This is like Jeopardy. And then Thomas something.
Thomas something. Let me write that
down. Go with Thomas something. Look him up. He like led the league in rushing for the Patriots in the preseason and believed in UFOs because he claimed he saw one off the back of a cruise ship. Boom. You're welcome.
Ooh, that's juicy. By the way, how do you think? Here's a good one. So if you're not the biggest believer in Maker Playfield, and you think that Drake May could surpass him this season, how do you think Drake May would do if he had the kind of talent Baker Mayfield does in Tampa? Like, would you have top 10 sights set for Drake May?
Yeah.
Because that's a loaded receiver. That's a loaded offense.
Absolutely. If the talent were better around Drake May, I would be more confident in an expedited elevation up these tiers and rankings and being like a 15th or 12th best quarterback in the NFL, maybe more. So, and that's part of it. And maybe Efton Chisholm and other guys will develop. Kyle Williams, Travion Henderson, Will Campbell. If all these young guys we're talking about coming out of the preseason opener do their job and are doing it at a high level, yes, that will make Drake May's job easier and the chances of him elevating his game will be that much better. 617-779-7937 if you want to react to the preseason opener like Fitzy and just put Efton Chisholm right in the Patriots Hall of Fame, measure him for that little
first
red
ballot
jacket that he'll need.
They're expediting him.
Very, very
where's the statue going to go, Andy?
That's a great. There's plenty of room next to Tom Brady. We can have a 4-foot statue. It'll be my size, life-size Andy statue. Yes, Dan Ball.
Is Efton Chisholm's statue also going to look like it's from the Breakfast Club?
Is that what you thought? That was your reaction?
Yeah, like the fist pump at the end of
okay.
it?
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw more Olympic protest, but also there were criticisms. Do we all agree the head's a little small?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, which shouldn't happen. Shouldn't
is that because of the
happen?
Shoulder pads, or is that just bad perspective?
Well, he also looks a little pudgy around the midsection. I don't know if that's rib pads under the jersey.
It's a mid statue.
It's fine.
It is.
But the one thing
I
asked.
You think it's mid?
It's definitely
is.
Mid.
And that's what I tweeted. And like some people were coming at me like, I don't hate it. I just don't love it.
No,
either.
It's mid. It's nice, safe. Like you didn't screw it up, but you didn't really go for it and do anything crazy. My only question is with
the
head
size. 6'7"?
It's 6'7", Fitzy. It's actually 12, but it's 6'7" in your case. But my only question is like the head size. In this day and age of AI, can't they like scan it with something and say, oh, the head's too small? Like some computer say, I scanned Tom Brady thousands of times on the field.
You could also use your eyes. Like it was obvious.
I know, but eyes aren't computers.
And they even can't, like eyes if you lie. Watch. If you watch the making of video at Patriots.com, which I'm sure Andy downloaded, watched, and rewatched on the drive into work today. I'm sure you probably have it memorized word by word.
Sure.
Yeah, of course. With Sculptor, what's his name? Like they had a model made before. There were obviously several models leading up to the ginormous 12-foot bronze one. Something kind of got lost in translation because I'm sure when you're building like a doll size, then a semi-realistic size one, the head, like someone's going to say like, the head is a bit small.
Is this like Honey, I Blew Up the Kids, but not at the right proportions?
Call me naive, but did Brady see that and or approve it before it was unveiled? Or
I would
was
guess.
That legit the first time he saw that
I would
statue?
Think he saw it. Or as Fitzy said, there were Andy-sized models along the way. I'm sure he saw at least one of those mm-hmm. or even just a picture. And it's fine. Why? If that was you, Stiz, would you be mad about it?
No, I mean, not many people get to say that there was a statue made of them.
But it's not embarrassing. There's nothing.
No, it's not. I wouldn't say it's embarrassing.
It's not
I think
perfect.
Maybe we were just, we've been talking about this stupid statue for a year. And then I was convinced. Right. I sent it the picture to the group chat of him holding the Lombardi.
Yeah.
I was convinced that's what it was.
Me too. But I think there's some issues there with sort of the Lombardi and the licensing of it.
Oh,
and those
if there's
issues
licensing, and, yeah. he made billions for the effing league. If they can't let him just hold a replica Lombardi in bronze,
okay,
screw them all.
I agree. I'd like a Lombardi there. To me, when you think Tom Brady, you think Super Bowl trophy.
Yeah,
like,
it
those
didn't really
go hand
feel like
hand.
He was the GOAT in that statue.
You're
if
right.
That makes sense. I know
yeah.
they have the
no,
markings
like,
on
no,
the bottom
guys,
of it.
What
but...
it, Dan, you know what it looked like to me? Like it was more impressive when I saw it later at night with fans standing around it, like from a distance, like two football fields away. It is very striking, but it was. It's almost like they took this reverent, safe, stoic route that looked more pro football Hall of Fame than taking a chance to make it iconic Tom Brady,
yes.
Patriot worthy. Like my first thing my wife said when I got home later that night was, I liked it, but it wasn't very Tom Brady.
Nope. I agree with your wife. Your wife is right. There is nothing specific and iconic about the statue. It's just, okay, it's fine. Generic quarterback football player. Yes, Dan Ball?
So we're all agreeing that Tom Brady had to sign off on this in some capacity, right?
I think Tom Brady signs off on anything that involves Tom Brady.
And that's what I'm thinking. You know what it kind of felt like?
Including
it feels
the
like,
joke about the Jets?
It feels like current day Tom
His
Brady.
His color commentary?
It feels like overly safe, face of brands,
oh,
face of Fox,
Dan
Tom Brady
Ball.
Versus player Tom Brady.
Yeah, that's not bad,
like.
Dan.
Yeah, and I know we're up against it, but I would like to, you know, ask you guys what you thought about some of that commentary. The Jets jokes, the Belichick phone call, maybe after trending.
All right, we'll get into that. We also have to talk to Marcus Jones, who'll be joining us each and every Patriot Monday here on WEEI Afternoons. Marcus Jones is up next, but Dan Ball is right now.